All right, who's ready for another cocktail?
Yes, please. Whatever that last one was, it was incredible.
That was a Bartesian margarita. Bright, smooth, perfectly balanced. You'd swear it came from a bar.
That came from the Bartesian cocktail maker?
Yep, pop in a capsule, press a button, and boom. Bar quality cocktails at home. My friend swore by it, so I finally got one.
I tried the Old Fashioned earlier. Honestly, it's the best I've had outside an actual bar.
Right? Over 60 craft cocktail options, ready in under 30 seconds.
And Bartesian's running their biggest holiday deal. Up to $150 off cocktail makers right now.
Wait, up to $150? That's huge.
Exactly. Holiday hosting just got way easier.
Make your holiday gatherings unforgettable with Bartesian, the cocktail maker that crafts smooth, bar-quality drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. The biggest savings of the year end December 2nd. Don't miss out. Order now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, live on a Wednesday to still set the stage for Super Bowl 59. Now, as the countdown continues to click forward to New Orleans, 11 days out from the biggest game of every single NFL season. A lot of action around the association. Four games to break down last night. We're not all that far away from the NBA trade deadline. And the rumor mill continues to pick up in great college basketball action, night in, night out around the country, now firmly in conference play. DRS, what more could you want on a Wednesday morning on TEL?
Especially going 4-0 in the NBA yesterday. What more can you want? Absolutely another 4-0 night tonight, which might lead to another West Coast Conference game tonight with Santa Clara taking on St. Mary's and side in that one. So we're ready to go. Anthony Davis is injured. Everything's back to normal. Let's get after it.
DRS, man, I cannot wait for the bet for a WCC clash tonight between Santa Clara and Randy Bennett's St. Mary's Gales. That will be something to pay attention to. But of course, DRS, as we have the head coaching carousel in the National Football League, we've seen seven vacancies at a certain point of this offseason. Six have been filled. Yesterday was our day to react to all the introductory press conferences around the NFL. But there's still one job outstanding, still looking for that next skipper in New Orleans, the site of Super Bowl 59. The Saints still have that opening, but everybody's pulling out of the running. Joe Brady, late last week, returning to Buffalo. Mike McCarthy, he's out of the running in New Orleans as well. Former Dallas and Green Bay head coach says that he is going to focus on the 2026 NFL head coaching cycle. That would be next offseason. A year off, it seems, for Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, or he takes the Eagles offensive coordinator job because Kellen Moore is going to be the Saints' new head coach here. Mike McCarthy dips his toes in the water and gets some revenge against Jerry Jones. But this is where I get angry. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Who cares? It's Mike McCarthy. We don't think he's a good head coach. He's a decent offensive coordinator. But just like the Eagles 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, they got pilfered late on both their offense and defensive coordinator when there's just scraps left over at the end of the regular season slash playoffs slash Super Bowl run. So Mike McCarthy, I do like the fact that, like, you know what? I'm going to turn my attention to next year because there were seven openings. He couldn't get one of them this year, as if he's going to get one next year. That's fantastic.
All of a sudden, the hot commodity that was Mike McCarthy still looking for a job. Of course, this is what he did after being dismissed by Green Bay. Took a year or so off from the NFL. Convinced Jerry Jones that he was following all the new style of play in the National Football League. Only in his introductory press conference to say, yeah, I might have fibbed on that just a little bit. Hopefully Mike is sitting there watching a ton of film in the 2025 NFL campaign. You mentioned Kellen Moore. He seems to be the guy in the Big Easy because who else would be there? Cliff Kingsbury takes himself out of the running to be the Saints' new head coach. Will not interview in New Orleans. He returns to Washington for year number two to guide Jaden Daniels at the quarterback spot entering his sophomore season.
Good job here for the Washington Commanders getting that continuity back for next year. Then, obviously, you're probably thinking that Cliff Kingsbury will be a head coach. But also understand this. Cliff's been a head coach before. It's like, you know what? Been around the block. Had a good job last time. Didn't work out for him. I'm not going to my maybe only other chance to be a head coach and just to get one and be in New Orleans because it's not a great job, which is why everybody's pulling out. We'll talk about, obviously, who's going to get that job a little bit later. But for Kingsbury, Washington, that's a huge win right here. He loves it. Look, man, I got a good young quarterback. I got plenty of money in the bank. I'm still getting paid from the Arizona Cardinals at this point. Why not stick around one more year, pick my spot, and have a great offensive game plan next year with a fun team?
Nothing but success and optimism. Yeah. The building blocks are in place in Landover, Maryland. Longtime NFL coach, one of the greats on the defensive side of the football, Chuck Pagano, out of retirement, returning to the NFL as the senior secondary coach for Baltimore under John Harbaugh. Chuck Pagano back in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a lifer, man. Some of these guys just love football. They miss the game. They can add something to a staff. But also, as you get older, you don't have the pressures of being the head coach, the defensive coordinator. It's more of that, you know what, I'm going to get paid a good salary, be back around the boys here in the building, and I know I can help out. Good move for the Ravens, absolutely.
Absolutely so. Of course, spent 6 years as the head coach in Indianapolis leading the Colts. Now let's get to the NBA rumor mill ahead of the trade deadline. That is February 6th, coming up late next week. De'Aaron Fox, who has not been all that pleased with what is happening in California's capital with the Sacramento Kings, has been trying to make his way out. And yesterday we learned the Kings might be open to dealing De'Aaron Fox ahead of the trade deadline. Next step of this conversation, Fox's ideal preferred destination, teaming up with Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio.
I'm surprised it wasn't just the Lakers, because the Lakers seemingly every time a big superstar comes up, they have no draft capital, but seemingly they're the top destination to go to. We'll see where he goes, but understand this. Superstars do have the power in the NBA. For De'Aaron Fox, I believe 8 years now in Sacramento, this year under contract, next year under contract. After that, no. Yeah. You can't allow a superstar player just to walk without getting compensation back. So they're being proactive right now. Even though they have a good basketball team, just hasn't worked out in their favor. This is what stars do. When they're free agents, they get to call the shots. It's not you.
That trade deadline, February 6th, 8 days from now, a week from tomorrow, next Thursday. As we go to the actual action around the association last night, a quadruple header of games, that would be four. And Donnie, an interesting spot last night. Lakers on the second leg of a road back-to-back, traveling to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. Line was 5.5, worked its way to about 4, did not matter. Philadelphia wins outright at home. Third consecutive win for the 76ers, all outright as an underdog, as Tyrese Maxey leads the way, scoring 43 points for Philly. The Sixers win big, 118-104.
Nice win for the Sixers, playing well together without Paul George and obviously Joel Embiid not in the lineup. But the one thing we always think about the Los Angeles Lakers are those back-to-backs. They figure they're getting easy victories this week, even with a game coming up, I believe their next one in Washington. That's why they played the back-to-back. They can't say, you know what, let me sit this out. They need every win they can get. But then again, a guy that goes for 40 and 20 the night before gets injured the next night. Yeah. Who knows that long? Anthony Davis is out. Terrible night for the Los Angeles Lakers.
A lot of action out of LeBron James. Played 33 minutes, had 31 points, 9 dimes, and 8 boards. AD leaving in the opening half with an abdomen muscle strain. We'll see what his timetable is. Speaking of the last name James, Bronny getting some actual run last night in Philadelphia for the LA Lakers. What a Kentucky pipeline we have. De'Aaron Fox, former Cat. Tyrese Maxey, former Cat, under John Calipari. Now under Mark Pope, the Cats are overwhelming dogs. Last night, catching double digits in Knoxville against Tennessee. Kentucky wins outright 78-73 against the Vols. Again, outright has a 10.5-point road underdog over a total of 145.5. DRS, Kentucky has been booked as an underdog 4 times this season. All 4 games, the Cats have won outright.
Big win, too, because you saw them start out the game and then Tennessee closed that gap and they were able to hold off at Rocky Top. By the way, that's a top 10 team now with 4 conference losses. Just tells you, show you how hard the SEC is going to be this year to win it and also advance through those SEC conference tournament at the end of the season. I love this conference. Big win for Kentucky.
The Vols were the last undefeated team in Division I men's college basketball. Perfect. 14-0, now 4-4 in SEC play. Huge offseason continues around the WNBA after all 11 years of her career in Connecticut. In top 5 in MVP voting each of the last 3 seasons, Alyssa Thomas making her way to the Phoenix Mercury. And longtime Mercury star Brittany Griner, all 11 years of her career in Phoenix, signing with the Atlanta Dream. Oh, we've got some drama in the W. Plenty more on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Each and every night in the SEC and around college basketball at this time of year, you've got wonderful conference matchups every single day in college hoops. A reminder, if Donnie Wrightside is tuned in, that's how you know it's the time in the calendar to start really paying attention to college basketball. Do not wait for March. The madness is already here, including Donnie in a top 15 tilt last night in Knoxville. A team ranked 12th in the country, winning outright as a double-digit underdog on the road. That would be number 12, Kentucky, against number 8, Tennessee. The Cats go into Knoxville and win 78-73. Again, outright as a 10.5-point underdog, a total that was dropping throughout the day. Never stood a chance with Mark Pope's Kentucky Wildcats over 145.5. A monumental quad one and road victory for Kentucky. And some more questions to answer for Rick Barnes and the Volunteers.
There is a lot of questions, but also there is some statistical anomalies from this game that you can certainly dig through. Kentucky, we understand, is a very good offense and not so great defense because it's a product of playing high tempo and getting into higher scoring games. You hold Tennessee to 73 points. That's fantastic. You score 78, you win. But look at this, though. Kentucky only shot 50 times from the field. Tennessee, 72 times. They had 22 more looks at the basket and lost by 5 points. How do you offset that? Well, shoot 50% from the floor on the road against an elite defensive team. Yeah. Kentucky did that. 3-point range, shoot 50% from the floor, 12 of 24. That's how you hold them off. And even though, too, like, Kentucky was like, hey, we took advantage of every opportunity. They're only 66% as a team from the free throw line. So there were some mistakes that were made, but it just goes to show you the ultimate equalizer sometimes is bury your 3-point shot and you'll do damage. As we said, 50% here for UK, 25% for the Tennessee Volunteers. Show me that box score. It said one team shoots 22 more times. My goodness, they probably hammered them. What a great win for Kentucky that maybe they didn't deserve on the score sheet, but on the court, they absolutely did.
Zakai Ziegler, one of the best point guards in the SEC and around college basketball for Tennessee. 1 of 11 from deep. The North Florida transfer, Chaz Lanier, who has been great this year for the Vols. 3 of 10 from deep. How about last year's best three-point shooter in the country, Kobe Brea at Dayton? Yeah, he was 3 of 3 last night for Kentucky. And Jackson Robinson, following Mark Pope from Provo at BYU, 4 triples last night in the starting lineup. Kentucky DRS booked as an underdog 4 times this year. They have won outright in all 4 games, twice in SEC play on the road, last night in Knoxville against Tennessee, in Stark Vegas against Mississippi State just a few weeks ago, and on a neutral floor earlier in the non-con portion of the schedule against Duke in Gonzaga. The wins that Kentucky has this year, absolutely elite. And Mark Pope has done a tremendous job in his first year in Lexington, bringing Kentucky back. Meanwhile, for the Volunteers, Donnie, last undefeated team in D1 men's college basketball, perfect 14-0 start atop the nation as the number one team in SEC play, though, now just an even 500, 4-4. Let's go to the Big East. Big matchup last night in the nation's capital, St. John's and Georgetown. How would the Hoyas respond from Providence's Super Bowl each and every year, hosting Ed Cooley? The Hoyas lost at the Amp. The Hoyas lost last night at home in St. John's. Under Rick Pitino, really making a charge to the first Big East regular season title for Johnny's men's basketball in a very long time. 7 straight victories for the Red Storm. They easily cover as a 5.5-point favorite on the road last night, holding Georgetown to only 41 points.
Yeah, this was a bad matchup going in. If you're just looking at the statistics, it was clear that Georgetown was going to struggle to score. Did we think they would score 21 in the first half and then 20 in the second half in a blowout? No, I don't think anybody saw that coming. But understand this. We just talked about teams going on the road and shooting 50% while the other struggles and shoots 35%. How about Georgetown as a team, Ben? 14 of 57 from the floor, under 25% on your home court. 3-point range, 6 for 26, 23%. You didn't even help yourself out at the charity stripe right there. 43% from the free throw line. An easy dog and pony show yesterday with a whipping of the Red Storm of the Georgetown Hoyas. We expected a victory for the Red Storm. They're playing good basketball, but my goodness, they are announcing their presence with authority right now in the Big East at 9-1.
Under 140.5, that 9-1 Big East mark for St. John's, trying to win their first Big East title in the regular season in over 3 decades, trying to get to the NCAA tournament and win their first game in the Big Dance since the year 2000. If anybody is going to lead them to this resurgence, why not Rick Pitino? St. John's has covered in 5 of their last 6 games. Georgetown, who started by winning its first 3 Big East games this year, won 2 all last year in Ed Cooley's first year in the nation's capital, now has dropped 6 of their last 7. Let's go around the country elsewhere in college basketball. Michigan State remains the only undefeated team in Big Ten play, now a perfect 9-0. The Spartans were a 14.5-point favorite against Minnesota last night. They made good on that number, winning by 22, 73-51.
Yeah, that was, I'm telling you, Michigan State coming into the basketball season over the past couple years, like, hey, maybe Izzo's lost it a little bit here, losing his grip on being a dominant basketball program. It's been a while since they won a national championship, and now you see them 18-2, 9-0 in the Big Ten at this point, playing great defense and being efficient on offense. Hopefully this, I don't want to say they're peaking too early, but boy, if they can play this type of style again, they could be a true player at actually realistically winning a national championship. And for me, Ben, it's been a while since I've said that.
For sure. The best start and the same exact start through 20 games and 9 Big Ten games for Michigan State this year as the Spartans saw in 2018-19. That MSU team also 18-2 and 9-0 in Big Ten play to begin. That Michigan State team made it to the Final Four. Big second half rally for Marquette in Indy, even covering against Butler as an 8.5-point road favorite. They stay atop the Big East at 9-1 alongside St. John's. Kansas had to survive at home against UCF and Texas A&M, a victory as well. Keep an eye on Louisville, 9-1 now in the ACC. Big home victory against Wake Forest, covering as a 9.5-point favorite. Basketball in the Bluegrass, the Cats and the Cards. It's back around the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go around the association from a Tuesday night in the NBA. Just a four-game slate. 12 games on Monday, 4 last night on a Tuesday. A pretty robust Wednesday night slate ahead as well. DRS, big game in Philadelphia for the 76ers, trying to build some momentum ahead of the trade deadline, ahead of the All-Star break later in February, trying to resurrect their season, if at all. Philly had 1-2 straight entering last night, catching LeBron, AD, and the Lakers on the second leg of a road back-to-back. LA still booked as a 4.5-point road favorite, but as you pointed out, felt like that spot to take the home underdog with the rest advantage, and that turned out to be the case. The Sixers win outright as that 4.5-point home underdog, 118-104, behind a huge 43-point night from Tyrese Maxey. The Sixers have now won 3 in a row. Keep an eye on Philadelphia in all 3 outright as an underdog.
It shouldn't be surprising. The Philadelphia 76ers are 18-27, basically getting nothing out of Joel Embiid and Paul George this year, as it feels like. But the one thing that the Sixers did beef up was their bench and secondary scoring, in hopes that with Joel Embiid and Paul George, when you go into the bench with Joel Embiid, you didn't just lose the game and lose the lead every single time. And these players are starting to play great basketball without the superstars in the lineup. So the hope for the Sixers is, what's going to happen next? Well, Embiid somewhat gets healthy, and so does Paul George, and all these guys are getting great reps here, including Tyrese Maxey, who's an all-star, and that should help them down the stretch. But now we look at it and say, are we ever getting Joel Embiid back? Is Paul George ever going to be that max player that we needed him to be? 17-plus points every night, 8 rebounds. Rebounds, 8 assists, keeping things in the mix as a pretty good number 2, number 3 option on the basketball team. Now flip it over to the Los Angeles Lakers. What do you know? Hey, LeBron has to be healthy all the way through. So does Anthony Davis. Their record was 26-18 coming into this game, and they were playing on a back-to-back because you're supposed to have easy victories. You got an easy one the night before on a bad Charlotte team, a bad Sixers team, then you head to a bad Washington team, then you could skip the games against good teams where you rack up the losses but still get your absolute rest in at this point. But Anthony Davis plays 10 minutes after going 40-20 the night before, holds his abdomen. If he's down for any extended period of time, it's lights out for the Lakers. Like, they can't survive this. They knew this was going to happen. Anthony Davis usually gets injured, and they tested him on a back-to-back, and it came up terribly for them.
Anthony Davis, 42 points, 23 boards, 2 nights ago in the Queen City against Charlotte. Last night, only 10 minutes, as Donnie alluded to, exiting with an abdominal muscle strain. What exactly that means, we shall see. LeBron James, great. 31 points, 9 dimes, 8 boards, still doing it. His son, Bronny James, playing last night off the bench. 0 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 3 from deep. Played decent defense. Dalton Connect, pretty good. The actual rookie the Lakers should be focused on, he had 24 points off the bench. Big win for Philadelphia, snapping a 4-game skid, or a 4-game win streak, rather, for Los Angeles. Now a 3-game win streak for the 76ers, trying to claw their way back even into Eastern Conference play-in position here past the midway point of this NBA campaign. A return to the Rose City for a second time for Damian Lillard, taking on his former franchise in the Portland Trailblazers. The Bucks also second leg of a road back-to-back, but Giannis played, scored nearly 40. Dame played, score in the 20s, and Milwaukee was a 6-point road favorite against the Blazers. Portland wins outright in a big way, 125-112 as that 6-point home underdog. Now, the Blazers are not a great team. Third worst record in the Western Conference, but as an underdog, 25-17-1 against the spread this year, a dog in 43 of 47 games.
We called it yesterday. Simple, man. Play by, paint by numbers at this point. Tired team on the road after getting a victory. Portland waiting on them at home. And also understand this. They're a bad basketball team, Ben. But coming in last night, 9-13 on their home court. Forget about getting points, just winning straight up. They've been decent there. And look at the Bucks now, dropped to 9-12 on the road. There are certain instances that you love to play. And it seemed like last night, 3 of those 4 games had great circumstances to play and all came up the way we thought they would.
Yes, they certainly did. And the Trailblazers take advantage at home. Again, as an underdog, great. Damian Lillard's points prop, 25.5, finishing with only 20. Interesting spot for the Rockets, much in the same way. 5-point favorite on the road in Atlanta. They did win the game, which almost seems surprising based on what we are telling you, but only by 4. The Hawks do cover at home.
This is why we took the points again yesterday. You were looking for the letdown. By the way, if you said, well, they didn't cover the spread, that's a great win for the Rockets. That's a young team learning how to win after having their biggest win of the season and still being able to perform in an environment where you're expected to win. I love that. But also, that's why we took the Hawks last night. Ding, ding! Rack up those victories, baby.
Atlanta 16-12 against the spread as an underdog. Much more competitive. Houston 32-14 straight up. That's how you do it. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's an interesting time in the NBA. Maybe you've been caught up throughout NFL and college football season, and you're just starting to pay attention to basketball. Well, we're already past the midway point of this NBA season. Most teams in the association playing 46, 47, 48 games out of an 82-game regular season. The trade deadline is next Thursday, now just 8 days away. The All-Star break is about 3 weeks from right now as well. So we are certainly in the latter half of this NBA campaign in 2024-25. And maybe you've been paying attention to the drama in South Florida. Yep. Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley in the Heat. And, of course, Jimmy Butler is that superstar that wants to be traded. Let's add in one name as of yesterday. De'Aaron Fox, slightly disgruntled with the Sacramento organization this season. A lot of it, of course, was encapsulated in the dismissal of Mike Brown. Doug Christie has been the interim head coach for the Kings. But De'Aaron Fox wants to get out. In Sacramento, is going to welcome the idea of potentially dealing De'Aaron Fox ahead of next Thursday's NBA trade deadline. And not just trading De'Aaron Fox, DRS, but where he wants to go first and foremost. That would be to partner with Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. Do you believe that De'Aaron Fox will be dealt ahead of next Thursday's NBA trade deadline?
I do believe it because now what there's two things you can question about this, right? Dealt before the deadline next week or in the offseason before the next deadline, because he's made it clear he's not signing a new contract with the Kings no matter what they do. And understand this too, like if you are a Kings fan, you can't be mad at him. 8th year in the NBA, hasn't worked out. You're sitting in the 10th overall seed right now. So the team dynamics aren't there. Even though when you look at their starting lineup, Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Murray, and Sabonis, that's a fun basketball team. But it just hasn't worked. And it's never worked in Sacramento. Case number two, let's understand where we're at here. It's Sacramento. It's not exactly a destination city for the NBA. Well, you want to be in that big market. You want to have some fun. San Antonio, a little bit warmer weather down there. Or it's like Miami, or let's just say you want to go to Los Angeles. These are the places that the superstars want to go. So for him to actually stay in Sacramento for 8 years is monumental in itself at this point. But also, it's not as if Sacramento is finishing 1-2 in the Western standings. And be like, why would he want to leave this team? We love him here. We win every single year. They don't. He's tried his best there. And he's saying, you know what? I have a contract that I must uphold. If you want to keep me the next year and a half, you have every right to do that. But let this be known. I'm walking at the end of that where I'm an all-star and you get nothing for me. You're probably going to ask for a trade and get out of it. Also understand this. He's not just going to accept the trade to the Washington Wizards if that's the best package, because he now understands I can walk and I'm going to pick where I want to go. It's up to Sacramento to make the best deal possible for the franchise. Yes, but also that also understands that the player itself, he's not going to go to the Utah Jazz when he wants to go somewhere else as a destination.
It's a really good point, DRS, but I just want to push back on one thing. Let's not make San Antonio seem like it's a better locale or destination than California's capital.
It's Monaco, Fiji, and Hawaii all rolled into one compared to Sacramento. My goodness.
That's really slanderous. Somebody has never spent time in Old Town or Midtown Sactown because that is a great, great time. Regardless, DRS, for De'Aaron Fox, I think what you alluded to there is very, very true. De'Aaron Fox was the first round, 5th overall pick by the Kings back in 2017. He has spent all 8 seasons of his NBA career trying to guide this Kings organization to better success. They were the 3 seed in the Western Conference. A great story a couple of years ago. Light the beam and all that fun, of course, in the opening round against the Golden State Warriors. But outside of that, not much. There's been some building blocks. De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, basically a triple-double machine. Keegan Murray. List goes on and on. Mike Brown had had some success, but dismissed earlier this year in a surprising move. Doug Christie has taken the reins, and the Kings have actually been competitive with their interim head coach. But what exactly is that ceiling? Now, you would say that if Victor Wembanyama could team up with De'Aaron Fox, that would be incredibly exciting for everybody in San Antonio. Would take a really big return, in my estimation, for Sacramento to be involved in that deal. De'Aaron Fox, a very well-known player in the NBA. What I found interesting, only an All-Star once, that was in the 2022-23 season, but has played at least 73 games in each of the past 2 years, averaging better than 25 points per game this season. A dynamic talent that certainly will garner some interest. And I think, Donnie, twofold what you said as well. It's not a matter of if he is traded from Sacramento, it's when. Is it going to happen in the next 8-day window ahead of the trade deadline, or might it happen in the offseason? I think he ends up in San Antonio. It's just a matter of what that timeline exactly looks like.
Exactly. And also, when you sort of hold out a little bit longer as a franchise, you're going to strike while the iron's hot right now? That where you're going to get the best deal? Probably not, because I don't know if it's the missing piece to the puzzle for the Spurs, right? They still need some time to grow together. But I do feel if you said to me, when would this deal go down? It's probably not the deadline. You want to get a couple months. He didn't announce this 6 months ago, right? Like, hey, we had so much time to build. You have limited time to make that. And also understand this. You would be making the deal out of duress right now. Like, oh, my goodness, we better accommodate San Antonio. And they understand that. It's long play it here. Long play that out into the offseason where you probably can get more teams bidding, bring in a third team, make it better for yourself. I don't see the rush because also, isn't there still a chance that Sacramento playing better basketball can make a run here, get into maybe the top eight and see what they can do in the playoffs and then try to convince him that this still is the spot for you at this point? So I wouldn't give up just yet. It's a fun team that hasn't worked out, but we still have a lot of games left to play to make the playoffs and see what you can do in it.
The Kings are 2 games above 500, as Donnie mentioned, sitting in that 10th spot in the Western Conference standings, as we all understand now. That would be the fourth and final team into the Western Conference play-in tournament. San Antonio, at the moment, a few games below 500, 20-23, 2.5 behind Sacramento, trying to get into that play-in spot. Golden State sandwiched in between. If you are optimistic that the Kings and the Spurs can come to a deal to acquire De'Aaron Fox in the next few days, plus 240 is the price on San Antonio to get into the play-in tournament out west. And Donnie, it should be noted, as we near the trade deadline, as we near the All-Star break, past the halfway point of this NBA season, keep an eye on those NBA championship odds. The Boston Celtics, a very short favorite in the Eastern Conference, and win their second consecutive Larry O'Brien trophy in the offseason and the preseason early this year as well. And they've been good. They're 32-15. They've got the second best record in the Eastern Conference, third best overall win percentage in the NBA, or fourth best win percentage overall in the NBA. But it's the Oklahoma City Thunder making that charge with the NBA's best record right now, 37-8, nearly catching Boston for the first time in those NBA title odds. Only 10 cents separates the C's and the Thunder.
Yeah, the one thing that you have to understand is motivation for the Boston Celtics. Now, should they give their effort night to night the best they absolutely can? I'm sure they're trying to do that, but that mental edge might not be there. You're coming off a championship season, and all you're looking forward to is, can we repeat? So those games in December, in January, in February, sure, you're playing well, but you're not mentally locked in yet, which shows them, Ben, over the last 10 games, they're 5-5, and they're in second place in the Eastern Conference. We can see them sort of lock in, let's just say, in late February and March to get that playoff ramped up. But it doesn't surprise me. Wow, it's kind of interesting. Boston's 32-15. With that roster, they should absolutely have a better record. Yes, but understand, you're still human beings at this point. Your goal now is like, boy, we won that ship. Let's get there healthy and win it again and lock in when the playoffs start. No surprise that the Boston Celtics are having a good season, not a fantastic season, compared to the records of the Cavaliers and the Thunder.
And a lot of people expected Boston, as they did last year, I think, to win 64 games, to be dominant at home inside TD Garden, to set more records, if you will. the Celtics will be fine. And we've seen this kind of changing momentum, DRS, atop each of the conferences and reflected in those championship prices, that it's not the teams that we have known the last 4 or 5 years. It's the up-and-comers. It's OKC. It's Cleveland. Really, when you look at the five best prices on the left side of that odds board, all 13-1 or shorter, the teams with a playoff pedigree year over year, Boston and Denver, that's really it. Plenty more on the early line. Back to the NFL we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on SportsGrid. 11 days out from Super Bowl 59. Next Sunday in New Orleans. Two teams, of course, still in the chase for a Lombardi Trophy. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, which means 30 other NFL organizations firmly now in the offseason, focusing on the future of their franchise. Donnie, earlier this week, Monday afternoon, that we reacted to here on a Tuesday on TEL, four introductory head coaching press conferences that followed two earlier this offseason in New England, that being Mike Vrabel, in Chicago, that being Ben Johnson. Seven head coaching vacancies, though, this cycle in the offseason, which means there is still one to fill at the site of the Super Bowl, the team that plays there, the New Orleans Saints. So who could be in the running? Who is still out there? Well, Kellen Moore, still the OC with the Philadelphia Eagles. Can't really interview until his season comes to a close. How about Joe Brady? Took his name out of the running, even though Buffalo season is over. How about Cliff Kingsbury? Took his name out of the running as well. What about a guy that was supposedly one of the hottest commodities in this cycle? Former Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy. Oh, he's not really all that interested either, deciding to focus on the 2026 hiring cycle and will not coach in the NFL in any capacity this upcoming season in 2025. Were you surprised that Mike McCarthy is going to sit out a season?
No, I'm not surprised by that. It's not sitting out a season for me. It's sitting out because other teams did not want you to be the head coach. Maybe he goes back to Pro Football Focus, eats some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and falls asleep during his lunch break there, and then winds up with a head coaching job the following season because Jerry didn't like how it turned out with their new head coach, Shoddy, at this point now, and they want to bring him home. So it doesn't surprise me. I was surprised he even got a job after the Green Bay. He said, well, hold on now. He won a Super Bowl championship. He had Aaron Rodgers. Then we're finding out that he's dipping out of practice to get massage and wasn't taking his job seriously, and then wound up there somehow by saying he learned analytics but learned nothing at Pro Football Focus while he was supposed to be learning analytics and wound up with the Dallas job. But it is funny. It's like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. Like, the one job that he probably should have gotten was the New Orleans job where they go, nobody wants this. And Mike goes, I'll take it. And they're like, well, fine. He's head coach before. It won't be embarrassing. Maybe we'll get something out of it and move forward. So that's the kind of interesting part. And also, look at some of the names that are getting jobs around the NFL the past two seasons. Like, McCarthy can't get one of those. Yeah, Mike, it's because they don't want you to be the coach. Not you. And it's funny that he finally pulls himself out. What's it apparent? He can't even get the New Orleans job. Isn't that convenient at this point? Which I always laugh about, too. Like, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, who might have been a hot commodity. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to try for another head coaching job. Maybe they didn't want you. The same thing with Joe Brady. Like, yeah, we like Joe, and it's a lot easier. I'm pulling my name out. No, you were never getting that job to begin with, probably at this point. So those are the real optics when we look at New Orleans. But by the way, like Kellen Moore, I'm actually surprised because you can't fault a guy that goes, I'm going to be a head coach in the NFL, get a lot of money. It's finally my dream come true. But this isn't one of those scenarios. Like, Kellen Moore was a hot commodity in Dallas. Didn't work out for some reason. Like, McCarthy didn't like his play calling. Goes out to the Chargers. Didn't work out because that team was always injured. Comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Resets that ship and's like, you know what? If I stayed one more year like Joe Brady's doing and, you know, you take a look at Cliff Kingsbury, I don't know if my job is going to come around or maybe I lose steam. Like, Bobby Slowick was a hot number down there in Houston, right? For now he's out of a job in one year when it looks like he was fast-tracked. But it is one of those surprising ones. Like, you know what? You want to make it right. Like, when you finally get to be a head coach and you see, like, what Ben Johnson did in Detroit, look, I just don't want to go anywhere. I want to pick. I'm a good enough coach and understand that I'm going to be a winner here. Let me pick the best spot for me. I'm surprised that Kellen Moore is going to take that Saints job, because it would be a miracle if he survives 3 years when they're just trying to dig out, find a quarterback, and get, like, their timeline correct with how much money they can spend under the cap at that point. So he will get paid. He'll be a head coach, but boy, that seems like a dead-end job to take when you're one of those hot coordinators.
The Saints, of course, have history. The Saints have pedigree. New Orleans is a city that always buys in to their favorite NFL franchise. The building blocks in place, though, Mickey Loomis, the GM, he's kind of in a Trent Baalke situation where people are like, eh, this guy still have his fastball. You do not have a quarterback in place. We'll see if Derek Carr even returns. Spencer Rattler can provide some glimpses, but is clearly not the face of the franchise moving forward. Neither is Jake Haener. What exactly do you have? You play in the NFC South. It is not a world beater of a division, but you've got to answer a big quarterback question this offseason. And, of course, Kellen Moore, being that bright offensive mind, he's going to be the guy they turn to do so. And we all think it's Kellen Moore because, really, who else is out there at this moment? Cliff Kingsbury yesterday making it official, despite interest perhaps from the Saints. He is returning to the Commanders to be Washington's OC for a second straight season. Of course, the RS, let's take the Commanders' perspective. That's great news for the young Jaden Daniels, for Dan Quinn entering his second year guiding this organization. Nothing but optimism for the Commanders this offseason, but now it's time to prove it, right? You're not the hunters, you're the huntee of sorts. It's time to back up your overwhelming success in year number one outside the nation's capital, following that with success in year two.
Exactly. And some people just think you're going to fast track yourself and you're even going to get better into your second year. But I always say some of the smartest species on this planet are defensive coordinators that have an entire offseason to watch every snap and every play call you had to try to combat that offense, which they didn't know was coming this year because you were moving into a new spot with a new quarterback and a new franchise. That'll be fun to watch it play out. But I don't think there's too many people out there, even myself, going like, hey, you know what? And Daniel's going to take a major step back next year outside of injury. Like, obviously, we don't know that, but we're not planning on that. And, boy, Kingsbury, who's always been known as a great genius off his mind, is not going to get even more creative in the offseason with the players that he has, and also that they're not going to get even more talented on offense by adding more talent at wide receiver, tight end, running back, what have you, on that team. So it's great that he is staying for continuity. Jaden Daniels needs that. Got comfortable in the NFL's rookie year. Yeah. Great offseason with the same coach, the same playbook. That's a win for Washington.
Huge win for Washington, no doubt about it. Cliff Kingsbury, as a head coach, has expressed desire to return into that position. Maybe you have some questions. His offensive acumen in designing and schemes and plays, there's no question about that. And I would just say, is basically everybody except Kellen Moore, who can't in-person interview just yet for the Saints job, has taken themselves out of the running. He's probably going to be the new head coach in New Orleans, especially if no decision is made in the next few days, which means they're waiting until after Super Bowl Sunday. The jersey matchup for Super Bowl 59 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tommy Right Side is many things here on the Sports Grid Network, and especially the early line. He is a forecaster. He is a doctor without a medical degree, just in case we get in trouble ever for that. Of course, he is all of that he wants to be as a commissioner, making schedules for various sports leagues. But maybe first and foremost, as a former great football player at William Patterson, a great state university in New Jersey, the man understands aura. The man understands swag. And thus, he puts on the badge once again as fashion police here on the early line to look at the uniform matchup for Super Bowl 59. The Eagles were technically the home team, DRS. They got first pick. They make their designation. They're wearing the midnight greens. Not the Kelly greens, but the midnight greens, which are their standard home uniforms, which means the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be wearing white. which the Chiefs were wearing in Super Bowl 57 when they beat the Birds 2 years ago. Donnie, take us through the decisions by both NFL franchises in the uniform matchup we will see on the turf in the Big Easy 11 days from now.
Hey, look, you dictate when you're the home team of what color you want to wear. You can wear whites if you like that. Like if the Dallas Cowboys ever got back to the Super Bowl, we know that no matter where they go, they like to wear their white uniforms, sure. Right? So typically on the road, you force them to wear their navies and they get angry at that and you think it's funny. And it's like gamesmanship here. But here's what I always get upset with. Jeffrey Lurie is a fantastic owner. Doesn't seem too meddlesome. Always has enough cash on hand to let Howie Roseman just bring in ball player after ball player after ball player. We love that. Accessible, doesn't embarrass the franchise, and you know he loves the team. Having said that, though, when he bought the team in 1994, it was Kelly Green, and it was silver, and it was white. And that was the colors of the Philadelphia Eagles. So luckily for him, we did not have the information highway age where you can get online on Twitter, on X, Instagram, and really let him have it. Because there would have been no way, shape, or form that he would have been able to come in and change the color scheme. And the reason I'm bringing this up now to give people a background on this. Like, imagine the New York Giants changing over and being Carolina blue because Mara thought that was a better color for the Giants. You'd be like, this is outrageous. Think of the Boston Celtics and their green color going, you know what? Let's shift it to a complete, like, let's go lime green for the Celtics. It would never be allowed to happen. That's what happened to the Eagles. They changed their color scheme, like, from a different shade of green, which nobody would be able to do that in this day and age. But he did that. And he likes the midnight green. That's his branding on the franchise. So even though the fans, for decades and decades and decades, just said, stop the nonsense. We want Kelly Green back. And some of the newer fans, and I say newer as, hey, I was born in the late 1990s, they only know midnight green, so they don't understand that struggle. Yeah. But I will say this, when the Eagles wear Kelly Green, and even now in the stadium, did you watch the last two football games at home? Or let's just say last three football games at home for the Eagles. Look around the stadium. There's midnight green, 10%, and 90% Kelly Green. And the owner doesn't see that and an opportunity. It's like, they love this. It is one of the cleanest uniforms you can possibly have. And on the biggest stage, when it's about selling memorabilia and jerseys, if the Eagles would have busted out the Kelly Greens, I don't even know. Like, Fanatics would have had a back order of 15 years just to get some of those jerseys out to the people. So for me, do I mind the midnight green? No. It's the Eagles' honest colors. That's what they are. But the Kelly Green has always been the Eagles. On the biggest stage, you are allowed now in the NFL to use that alternate. We saw that with the Rams a couple years ago. It looked absolutely beautiful. But you're the not, Kelly though. Greens should have been the call in the Super Bowl. I would actually have to maybe shed a tear if I would have saw it.
But you're not allowed to use your alternate uniforms for a Super Bowl. You are limited to your designations.
The Rams used it. The Rams got permission. The Rams got permission the year they lost to the New England Patriots, I believe, to wear the throwbacks when Jared Goff was there.
Oh, interesting. Well, you would need permission because by true NFL postseason guideline, you are only allowed to choose from your home uniform and your regular away uniform. The Eagles make the designation to go with the regular home uniform. Very few jerseys, though, DRS, I would agree, in sports better than the Eagles throwback, the Kelly Green. It should be noted, the Chiefs wore white in Super Bowl 57. KC won that game. In fact, of our last 20 Super Bowl winners, 16 of those teams were wearing a white uniform. The Chiefs 2 years ago, but last year the Niners elected to try to back that trend, went with their white jerseys, the Chiefs in red, won in overtime. So who's to say? A rather strong trend, though, DRS. 16 of 20? That's a trend normally we would back as handicappers each and every time. Great job by the Fashion Police, Donnie Wrightside, taking it on for Regional Philadelphia. Hour number two comes your way next.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book four nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to CheapCaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.